People are running as fast as they can out of this state, out of this city. But if there's one thing we can be thankful for living here, at least those who are left, living in Illinois and Chicago, with our corrupt politicians devouring us piece by piece, is that even here, on the Boulevard of Broken Dreams called the Chicago Way, it's mostly about things we can get. It's mostly about the money and the power. And the Madigan Burke, running for mayor, and the kiddie table debate with the other guys, and Alderman Joe Proco Moreno in hot water over that stolen car report and his girlfriend in jail. Uh-oh. But Virginia, you know, Virginia, civilized Virginia, where all the people, the rich people of Washington live, the ones who work in and around Versailles, the palace, the National Palace, and the City of Light, of American Light. Virginia. They've got that ugly, black-faced, Democratic minstrelly show, don't they? It's horrific. Yeah, it's ugly, racist, and it's instructive. It's most instructive. Because Democrats who play the identity politics game there, and all over the country, have hoisted themselves with their own petard. Yes, it's hoisted with, not hoisted upon. A petard wasn't a knife. It was a bomb. Look it up. Anyway, back to Virginia. Democratic Governor Ralph Northam first apologized, then backed off, apologizing for being in that racist medical yearbook photo, either the guy in blackface or the guy in the KKK costume. And then the Attorney General, Democrat Mark Herring, admits that, hell yeah, he wore blackface too. I don't mean to make fun of the racism, because racism is not funny. It's just, it's this thing is ridiculous now. And what about the Democrat who was supposed to move up the ladder because of all this blackface controversy and become governor? He's got his own problems. Lieutenant Governor Justin Fairfax, who was African-American, on Wednesday faced detailed allegations of sexual assault from 2004. That was at the Boston Democratic National Convention, or at least allegedly. And the alleged victim is a college professor. She hired that same lawyer hired by Brett Kavanaugh accuser Christine Blasey Ford. Remember her? Remember when Christine Blasey Ford was the darling of the Democratic Party because everything she said had to be believed? But remember all the screaming coming from the Democrats about how the accuser had to be believed? It was Me Too and all that, remember? The marching, the virtue signaling, the columns in the newspapers, especially the Jeff Bezos Post. It was shrill, it was angry, and it was directed at the most evil creature in the intersectionalist Democratic universe, the white Christian male. And they didn't stop, and went on and on. But now, where are the Democratic senators? They're crickets on this. Where are the Democratic pundits on Lieutenant Governor Justin Fairfax? Where are they? Brett Kavanaugh had his skin ripped off, but I don't know, there's a different standard here. They have nothing to say. Nothing. But even silence tells the story. I've told you that for a long time. Silence tells the story. And in this silence, you understand that among the silent, who won't talk about the woman accusing Lieutenant Governor Justin Fairfax, the political dogma lives loudly within them, doesn't it? It was never about the treatment of women. It was always about the use of power. And the dogma speaks loudly within them. Isn't that right, Senator Dianne Feinstein? But she's there, and we're here, podcasting secretly behind the Iron Blue Curtain of Illinois. Jeff Carlin, my friend Mr. Science, is back in the WGN radio studios, where he works as the executive producer of the Rokon Show with Anna DeVolantis, and he's trying to put sound on this wizardry. And I'm John Cass, husband, father, nationally syndicated columnist for the Chicago Tribune, a lonely conservative floating on a sugar cookie in a sea of liberal milk. And you? You know where you are. You're on the Chicago Way on WGN Plus.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man.
Castle.
There was a man who took a stand. with pen and paper in his hand, defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso in a tower by the river, Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun, he sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago way.
We're in that crazy, insane time of politics just 2 weeks before the Chicago elections, and everybody's stabbing everybody in the back. It's almost a virtuous thing to see a politician stabbing another in the front. Here, there, take it. But there's something delicious about betrayal, too. And I'm just warning everybody in these crazy times that there will be stories pitched and offered by candidates desperate to knock off their opponents. It's fine if they hold a news conference, stand up and point fingers, say, my opponent did this and that. My opponent got all these no-bid contracts. My opponent is a crook. Fine. Say it. Stand up on your own 2 feet. But the opposition research, that oppo last-minute drop 2 weeks before an election, I don't know. I'm not going to tell other people what to do, but I've only been doing this more than 30 years, and I can tell you, for me, it might be at a time journalists want to think about not doing any of those last-minute hit pieces. They usually involve ethics, not ethnics, ethics. And if you're talking about Virginia Democrats in blackface and you think that's a never-ending story, the story that's local about Chicago aldermen and ethics just keeps on giving. And the Cubs, too. Politicians love leveraging baseball clubs. They have a controversy now about that old email Joe Ricketts has since apologized for. But the aldermen? Wow, remember? And Rahm? Ooh. Remember how upset they were, the aldermen, when they wanted cheap World Series tickets at Wrigley? A city ethics panel, yeah, right, ruled that only Tom Tunney of Wrigleyville, you know, Mr. Ann Sather's restaurants, only he could purchase the cheap tickets at face value. And the other aldermen were outraged, like the famous Joe Proco Moreno. It's ridiculous that 49 other aldermen or state reps or whatever can't buy tickets at face value if the Cubs so choose to sell them, said Alderman Proco Joe Moreno. You know how I know? Because I wrote about it then. But let me translate that into Chicagoese. Here's what he's saying. If that weasel Tunney gets to buy tickets on the cheap, why can't I? We're weasels too, you know? And to eat, a weasel first must chew. Okay, you didn't say the thing about the weasels, but it sounded like it to me. It was in my ear. And the other day, he insisted about telling the truth after a story blew up in his face about Moreno being investigated by police as to whether he filed a false police report about a stolen car. Yeah, that's the car his girlfriend was driving.
Why did you report that your car was stolen?
Yeah, because there's a misunderstanding that she had it for longer than she wanted to, and I was having a hard time getting a hold of her. So that's the only reason that I needed to. Again, it was miscommunication, a person that I dated and is a friend of mine.
She was taking the pokey. She's not happy. She'll get a lawyer. Yes, Joe, hell hath no fury. And it got worse. At least for one of the Madigan Burke Four, Susana Mendoza had to run away from her old friend, Joe. She used to date him, and she dropped thousands of dollars on him in past races. And he did put her on a list of his own fundraiser, upcoming as an honored guest. And what did she do? Did she stand by him? Did Susana Mendoza offer another profile in courage? Not exactly.
I don't remember him hosting an event for me. Oh, I'm not going to that, by the way. I'm going to be in Springfield for that.
She dropped him like she dropped Ed Burke and Danny Solis. Even though she was married at Burke's house and Danny Solis gave her, what, $100,000 in campaign money? I've got a lot of fundraisers, so yeah, I'll take a look at it, Mendoza said. Oh, I'm not going to do that, by the way. I'm going to be in Springfield. I think he probably just put my name on there. But I'm not going to that event. Yeah, you're not going to the event. And what about the other woman in Joe Moreno's life? 35-year-old Lilia Rabar. Yeah, I saw pictures of her. You know, there was the texts that were circulating. She's a very attractive young lady, single mom. needed to have a car that day. Joe gave it to her, told her to drive it. Then he filed a police report. She still doesn't. She goes, I don't understand what's going on. So that's why I'm going to meet with Moreno tomorrow, said Herbar, an insurance agent. Joe never does anything bad to me. We date on and off. I will never say a bad word about Joe. Cha-ching. Do you remember the time when Joe Moreno got in a beef with a neighbor parking in his Lakeview neighborhood? He was upset because she was taking a parking space on the street, and he's driving a black Audi. He wanted to park in there. She took it first. He told her to move, flashed his aldermanic credentials, made her think that he was a copper, and then said, you better pay your parking tickets. This is how we do it in Chicago. This is how we do it? Of course, Joe Moreno wasn't charged with impersonating a police officer. And I got to guess that if he wins his aldermanic race, he won't be charged with filing a false police report. Why? Because it's a Chicago way, that's why.
Just the two of us. We can make it if we try. Just the two of us.
Just the two of us.
Just the two of us. Building big castles.
You know, every time we run the Mutsa of the Month, a reader will call or write and say, why don't we do like a anti-Mutsa? You know, like a hug of the month. Something nice of the month. Something sweet. I don't know what to call it, but I've just read Mary Schmeek's column of February 6th, the column about the man with autism behaving violently in the ER, and the officers on duty respond by singing and dancing. They helped him calm him down. He had chased his parents through the house, Mary Schmeek writes, tackled his father to the ground, even bitten him through his winter coat, hard enough to hit flesh. Get to the hospital, the doctor said. They obeyed. The fragile mom, the aged parents. The son is huge. The public safety officers, not police, were not technically cops. They were public safety officers. They knew how things could go wrong. A big, violent man with autism, bunch of uniformed cops wearing badges, stun guns, but it didn't go wrong. They treated him with kindness, and they understood how to chill him out. They thought he was valuable, too. So is Mary Schmeek valuable? I mean, she has won the Pulitzer Prize. That should tell you something. I just thought it was a very touching, an important column. Now, it's not that I'm going to love all people all the time. Come on. This is a Chicago way. But I did love that column. And I put it down, finished reading it. And then, you know, turned on the TV. I had to, like, clear the good feelings out and get some bad feelings in. And then I saw a commercial. You see that commercial? The one with the old guy, and he says he's working on a chair, like as if he's a woodworker, which he's not. His son is a woodworker, and they're working on chairs in the garage. And the kid says, Dad, I love you, and he can't hear him. Like, what? Huh? What? And then he goes into a rant. It's kind of like a round-faced guy, old guy. Goes into a rant about hearing aids. And he says, they charge whatever they can get. $3,000, $5,000, whatever they can get. Now, I'm kind of tired of this guy. I don't know. I don't know which one's aggravating me more of the old guys. And I'm an old guy, so I can say it. It's William Devane with the 65 teeth in his head talking about buying gold. Or is it this old guy with screaming about hearing aids and screaming loudly so he must not be able to hear? I'm not making fun of people with hearing losses, okay? We all get old. Things happen, okay? You know, it's just that, I don't know. The guy aggravates me somehow. So I made some soup. I made some soup and thought about writing a column and made some chicken soup with agua limono. You know what that is? You make a chicken broth. Then you take Take the chicken out of the chicken broth. Take fresh squeezed lemon, mix it with eggs, beat the eggs, and then temper it by taking the broth that's already been strained, so you take all the vegetables out and all the chicken, and temper it so it won't scramble, and pour it back into the soup and simmer. Gives you a nice, creamy, lemony, savory with the egg, tart with the lemon, the chicken. Just, you know, one of my favorite soups, and great with fresh cracked pepper. And so I'm thinking about things that I, you know, cared about, like the Mary Schmidt column, which was nice, and that old guy, which I can't stand, like, shut up, old man. You know, you put some hearing aids in, okay? And quit bitching about it. I mean, it'll probably happen to me. I'll run around saying, what, by cracky? What? And then I thought, with the soup, you know? It was kind of calming me down, making me feel good. And then I realized I can't have bread. I can't have Italian bread with a gob of butter. You know, crusty bread to dip into that soup. Dip into that avocado with the pepper on it. And a hand, you know, some rice. And I got pissed again. I was like, damn it. Damn you, diabetes. I just wanted that crust of bread, you know? But you know what? I balanced that off by thinking, hey, I'm alive, all right? So I don't have anything to complain about. I've got an election to cover. My kids are healthy. My wife is healthy. My friends are good. I love people. I just talked about how great Mary Schmidt's column was. Things are looking good. Chicago doesn't look good. Chicago looks bad. Going through a spasm of politics. But who knows? Maybe it'll turn out better. I hope so. In a few days, we're going to do another Chicago Way podcast with Jeff Carlin over at the WGN Studios. So for Jeff and for me, thanks for joining us. I won't eat the bread, but I'm bringing some. I hope to bring some chicken soup to Jeff, but maybe there won't be any by the time I bring it to him. Sorry, Jeff. Thanks for joining us on another edition of the Chicago Way.